welcome to 12th Man Rising's Seahawks show. I'm Lee Vowell, one of the experts at 12th Man Rising, but really the star of the show is Kevin Daggett because he grew up a Seattle fan and he's the one with the really informed and well-spoken opinion. So again, I'm Lee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Ready to get some football going here pretty soon.
Absolutely, yeah. So this show is very conversational, so it's just two fans talking about the Seahawks. Hopefully we'll have some guests on that will make it enlightening to fans everywhere. But, you know, just talk about last year just a little bit. I mean, it was a very disappointing season because of, I thought, all the injuries. If everybody stayed healthy and Blair Walsh would have made a few kicks, maybe they make the playoffs. I'm not saying they win the Super Bowl. They probably don't. Well, they definitely don't because the Eagles totally, you know, they screw up everything, as it turns out, and made Bill Belichick made him look like a bad defensive coach, really, in the Super Bowl. But, you know, they probably make it to the playoffs if Walsh makes a couple of field goals. They go 11-5 and make the playoffs. Not a long run, but what were your thoughts on the 2017 season?
Yeah, I agree with that. The whole situation with Hauschka was kind of I was kind of torn. I liked the guy, but did he need to go? Probably. But Blair Walsh, really? And, you know, he proved himself to probably not be the correct guy. I mean, he did. We would have won a couple more games if he would have made some kicks. And, you know, I think majority of the fans out there would, you know, put that on him. But, you know, the offensive line had issues, obviously, all season. They kind of got it together after a while. You know, they made some trades and got some guys in there. But there was just a lot of disarray, a lot of off-the-field stuff that was going on. And there just seemed to be it wasn't as cohesive of a team as it had been the years past. And ego, you know, like I said, off the field stuff and things just fed into it. But and the injuries are huge. And, you know, when we got some age on some guys, and you're going to start having injury issues. And, you know, the older you get, the longer those injuries take to heal. But and when you got our defensive backs that hit as hard as they do, yeah, there'll be some injuries sooner or later. But yeah, I agree. I'm disappointed they didn't make the playoffs, and it was just the end of the year was real tough because, like, well, if the Seahawks do this and so and so does this and so and so does this, they can make it. I'm like, really? we're in this these mathematical situations. I hate those things, but yeah, you know, there we were.
Yeah, because the bad thing about it is, you know, we've gotten so used to the Seahawks making the playoffs and not thinking, well, if this happens and this happens, they make the playoffs. It was a matter of, you know, they make the playoffs and see how far they go. And then after last year, you know, I mean, again, if there weren't those injuries and things like that, they probably still make the playoffs. Don't win the Super Bowl, but they make the playoffs. And then this year, of course, you know, they've made so many changes. Richard Sherman's gone. Michael Bennett's gone. Cam Chancellor's gone. Sheldon Richardson, who I don't really count that much because he had the 1 year in Seattle. It wasn't like he was a long-term player who formed the foundation of what the Seattle Seahawks have become. But still, he's gone. And really, in his stead, the pass rushers, I mean, you've got Deion Jordan, who, how many games is he really going to play? If he plays six games, that would be a miracle, I think, at this point. And you've got Frank Clark, who really has to prove he can be the guy instead of the number three guy and earn that next contract. But they've made so many changes as far as who they've let go and a lot of more outspoken guys. And they still have a few of those, like Doug Baldwin, which we'll get into in just a second. But you know, Baldwin is a guy who I don't think anybody dislikes. It seems like, yeah, he's a little bit outspoken, especially about police departments, but his father is a police officer. It seems like everybody actually respects what he has to say because he doesn't do it in a way that's like, you know, disrespectful, I think, where some of the other players, even Sherman on the field, was getting a little bit disrespectful with Daryl Bevel, and maybe rightfully so, as it turns out, but, and then off the field more and more so, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's like the players they got rid of, maybe, you know, just throwing it out there, they are better off because the team can, as you mentioned, more cohesive in recent years. Maybe they come together in 2018 as one more centralized unit under a common goal than they were if the splintering was happening with Bennett and Sherman and things like that. Does that sound crazy, or what do you think about
They're gonna have to. And I agree. I mean, you know, Baldwin has his opinion, but that's not what you know him for. I mean, Sherman and Bennett were kind of known for being these guys that were all this outspoken stuff, and you know, where you could ask them something and they'll give you an opinion. Baldwin says stuff, but then goes on and does his business. You know, he's not like you said, he's not disrespectful about it. It's not his main focus of attention. He goes out and he catches footballs, and you know, he's got that chip on his shoulder, and it helps him out. And he's finally getting some respect that he deserves in the league, and he does a good job. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who becomes a leader on the team. Obviously, Russell Wilson's a leader. On the defensive end of things, who's the leader? It's not
clearly Tedrick Thompson at this point, right?
Yeah. And it's not going to be Earl Thomas. I mean, you know, because we got that whole situation, and, you know, if he even plays or whatever, but he's obviously not, you know, this 100% I'm a Seahawk guy anymore. And I'm going to do, you know, what's right for the Seahawks. So, you know, he'll be a leader out there, but they're going to have to and obviously somebody will, you know, people will rise to the occasion and be leaders, but it'll be interesting to see who does. And I love Ken Norton Jr. I hope he does well. I'm sure he will. I really like his attitude, his work ethic, and you know, the way he coaches.
You have any concerns, though? Just the Raiders have not been very good defensively over the last 3 years. Is it his coaching, or is it just, besides Khalil Mack, they really just don't have the players?
I don't know that the Raiders had all. I mean, they, you know, they were doing pretty good until Derek Carr got hurt. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, and I don't have nothing against Chris Richard. I think he did a great job. I just don't know. I've always liked Ken Norton as a person, and you know, the way he goes about things. So I hope he does well. I've got high hopes for him, but you know, time will tell. We'll see. But I'm not unhappy about that pick as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I wonder. What does it say about Richard that he went from the Seahawks defensive coordinator that was very successful, really? And we all know it's really Pete Carroll's defense. I mean, no offense to Richard or anybody that's ever, Gus Bradley or anybody that's coached under Pete Carroll. It's Pete Carroll's defense, just like it's Bill Belichick's defense in New England. So, you know, it's one of those things. But what does it say about Richard that when he left Seattle, he didn't get another coordinator position? He had to go to the pass defense coordinator or whatever in Dallas. Does it say that the league just didn't respect Richard, or maybe as Seahawks fans, we've really kind of overthought how good they were defensively under Richard?
Well, I think you make a good point. It is Pete Carroll's defense. It's like, we're going to line straight up. We don't have a lot of schemes to run at you. You know, we don't have all these different defensive packages that we're going to put together. We're going to line up straight on you and hit you hard. And yeah, I don't know that there was a lot of defensive coordinator positions open. You know, Richard may get another shot, but you know, and one thing might be there was a lot of, and again, this is probably more of a reflection on Carroll than anything, but there was a lot of discord on that defense. I mean, he had some mouthy guys out there that were allowed to be mouthy. And I'd say that's more of a Carroll thing than anything, but you know, I don't know. We'll see I don't know. I think Chris Richard did a pretty good job, but, it might say something about that, though, that he didn't go from defensive coordinator. But, you know, then you can look at Derek Dooley, what he did. He went from head coach of Tennessee to What does he do at Dallas Cowboys?
He's a receivers coach. I don't even know. Actually, no.
I think that's what he's supposed to be doing, but who knows?
Yeah, that's actually, you know, it's funny. That's a good point you brought up, because we talk about the outspoken players who have left, and almost all of them are. I mean, Paul Richardson left, but he wasn't an outspoken guy. You know, I don't remember him ever really saying anything of note. I mean, no detriment to him. I mean, maybe he said lots of intelligent things. It just didn't stand out on recent Seahawks teams, because you had all these defensive players. So maybe that will help the defense. I mean, the defense did regress last year, and it regressed the year before as well. And it could have been that the players are getting older. And the thing that gives me hope, at least for 2018, and I kind of joked about Tedrick Thompson, but he's had a good training camp so far, is the fact that the defense is Pete Carroll's defense. We all know that. But really, the secondary, the Legion of Boom, that's his baby. I mean, he's probably the greatest defensive backs coach in NFL history, you know, if you go all the way back. And maybe people are like, what in the world is he talking about? But look at Pete Carroll's history and the defensive backs he's developed. And even when he was an assistant coach on way back with Bud Grant and the Vikings teams, the secondary is his thing. So he knows how to teach it, and he knows how to get it to the point where it's good. Even after they left or lost Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman last year, they didn't really fall off last year. Those last five or six games, they had given up 20 yards a bit more a game passing than they did before they lost Chancellor and Sherman. And some of that has to do with the fact that they really couldn't stop the run, even with Bennett and Richardson and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think the secondary is going to be still good because Pete Carroll knows how to coach it. And he's got some young guys who have, like Thompson, like Delano Hill, like Shaquille Griffin, who have come up through the system, and they know the Seahawks way of playing. Even if it's just 1 year, it still matters. That second year, a lot of players like Richard Sherman took a jump forward, and hopefully Shaquille Griffin will as well, because he's going to be the main cornerback in the scheme, and Byron Maxwell on the other side, and Justin Coleman playing the nickel and things like that. But, you know, you kind of hit on something when you were talking about just how, you know, what Pete Carroll does defensively is pretty simple. I mean, this is what we do. You have to beat it. Whereas Tom Cable tried to make things seemingly a lot more complicated on the offensive line than they should have. And I think that, and, you know, there could have been a lot of reasons, but I think that was one of the main reasons Jermaine Ifedi really hasn't worked out in this time in Seattle. So now they have a new coach, new offensive line coach, Mike Solari, who came over from the Giants. And they weren't very good, but he also didn't have very good players to play with, to work with. And he has developed great offensive linemen in the thousands of years that he's been coaching in the NFL. What do you think about Jermaine Ifedi? Do you think he's going to take a big step forward under Solari, even though they've also been working him out at right guard, as it turns out, a few times during camp, which I'm not sure what that says, but just simplifying things down. You think that's going to help Ifedi and not have him have 365 penalties in 2018?
I would hope so. I mean, if not, they're going to have to cut bait with the guy. I mean, they just signed Sweezy today, so, which, you know, I'm getting the old band back, but and, you know, they're going to, shored up what's his name,
Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, Dwayne. I want to say Olsen for some reason. Dwayne Brown. I'm thinking of what I was thinking of, but yeah, I think he's gonna have to. I mean, you know, you took a pretty high draft pick on the guy, and you're gonna have to do something. I mean, let's, you know, put up, or we're gonna have to move on from you. But the penalties, that's a killer. I mean, you can't have that many penalties.
No, and I think the offensive line is going to be better this year, just simply for the fact that I think Solari will come in and simplify the scheme. I think Ifedi will be, I mean, he can't be any worse. I mean, he wasn't, and the funny thing is, he hasn't been god awful. It's just he sets the team back so much because of the penalties and other things. But, you know, most of the time he's not bad. It's just, no. I don't think he's been used to, his skill set has not been used. And I think Solari's more straight ahead approach to scheme blocking, zone scheme blocking, will help Fetty, but I also think it's going to help Dwayne Brown. I think it's going to Ethan Posick is going to be a year stronger, which, you know, he was decent last year, but he just didn't have the strength. I don't think anybody expected him to play the role he did late last year when Seattle was really just barren as far as how many injuries they'd had offensively and defensively. I think Justin Britt's going to be better. He was good in 2016. He wasn't terrible in 2017, but I think he'll be back to 2016 level in 2018. DJ Fluker, this may be, you know, the Sweezy signing may be more of a we don't think Fluker is going to work out
instead
of a Fetty thing.
That's what I was thinking too. I'm wondering about that because, I mean, Sweezy knows the deal. So I mean, he's played for this team before. So but you're right. It might be Fluker might be the casualty in this deal.
Yeah, and maybe that's why they were trying out a Fetty, you know, in training camp, is the fact that it's not that he's not working out at right tackle. We kind of know what to expect, but let's move him into guard because we have no answer, even with bringing in Fluker this offseason, that he can actually be a productive guard in the Seahawks system. So maybe bringing in Sweezy and then moving, you know, and there's also George Fant. I mean, yeah, he was left tackle, and who knows how good he would have been. He wasn't going to be Dwayne Brown ever, but maybe he was going to be okay. And now they've got him, trying to work him out, maybe deflects back and forth the left and right tackle. Not so easy, but, you know, if you're new to the position like he is or like he was, because he still hadn't really played that much at left tackle, maybe moving him over to right tackle, he can actually do it because he has athletic ability. So it's one of those things. It's kind of interesting. But what do you think about the draft picks that Seattle had? I mean, it took Rashad Penny, which was a surprise to me. I mean, Penny was great in college, phenomenal stats. Maybe he'll be great as a pro. Chris Carson, of course, is coming back off injury. Everybody says he looks like a beast. And basically, if he had stayed healthy in 2017, I'm not saying again that the team makes the playoffs, but maybe they're a totally different team with Carson running the ball than anybody else they had last year. But, you know, Penny and Carson, Penny was their first round draft pick. And then they got Will Dissly. And you got Rasheem Green coming in, as he's going to have to step up because they just have a void of pass rushers. What do you think about the draft picks they had this year? And let's not forget Dixon out of Texas, fifth round punter.
Yeah, we it'll be interesting to see how that goes with if John Ryan's going to stick around or not. But the Seahawks they I'll never understand their draft. I mean they actually, you know, picked a little higher than they usually do this year with Penny. And I, you know, you talk about running backs. I don't know who's going to make the team. I mean, there's no way all those guys can stay on the team. No. I mean, what do you got? You got McKissick, Carson, Penny.
I think those three.
Procise.
Mike Davis. I think that's it. I think you hit those five. I think it's Procise. If he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
And Mike Davis, McKissick, Carson, and Penny. I think everybody else is gone as far as running backs.
I think McKissick and Carson, we know they're good. And, you know, if Carson can stay healthy, and then Penny, we'll see. But, the draft picks, I mean, you know, you never know. You were talking about the defensive backs and Pete Carroll being good at, you know, those defensive backs. If you look, I mean, they always pick up some defensive backs, you know, every year in the draft in those late rounds. It's almost like we're just going to restock this with a few guys, get them in there, you know, let them get used to the system, and then, you know, hopefully they develop and then when they have to step up. So there always seems to be a lot of, relatively good or good defensive backfield prospects on the roster. And so it kind of goes along with your point talking about Pete being focusing on the defensive backs. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, draft picks. I wish I'm a little I was talking to some buddies the other day. We were texting back and forth about Michigan State guy.
The guy they just cut.
Yeah, it's like, what a
Malik McDowell.
Malik McDowell. I mean, Alvin Kamara was sitting right there. I mean, you think about what we could have had instead of that.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy? What? Oh, he was. That's right. He was the backup running back at the University of Tennessee.
Which is why that head coach is now an assistant coach somewhere deep on the Alabama coaching.
Exactly. Getting Saban's coffee.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you're like, oh man, but anyway.
The funny thing is, Kamara was the backup to the guy who is now a receiver at Baylor.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane.
Yeah, and he got to play because the other guy quit the team.
And what happened when he played? This is way off. So Seattle fans are like, what in the world are they talking about? Like, Kamara came in and over 300 total yards against a really good Texas A&M team. And it's like, and this guy, we all knew he should have been starting and playing the whole time. It's like, come on, man. This guy, the coach is gone after this year. It's ridiculous. He should have been. Yeah. Anyway, but you hit on Ken Norton Jr. What do you think about Brian Schottenheimer bringing him as the offensive coordinator?
I like it. He's a young guy. I mean, it's obviously a promotion for him. And, I trust Pete Carroll, I guess, to a certain extent. You know, Schneider, I don't know. I'm not, he's the draft picks over the past few years have been, you know, I don't know, a little suspect. And so a lot of those guys haven't turned out, but, I think it's a good move. I think, Bevel needed to go. I don't know that there's any way they could have kept him around. I don't think the fans would have would have put up with it. But right. I think Sean. If he hopefully he can get creative and I don't know. I'm not opposed to him. I like the guy. He's been around the league for forever. So. Since he was 10 years old.
Well, yeah, probably out of the womb because he's Marty's son.
Yeah,
but, I think a lot of people with I'm still kind of waiting to see how Schottenheimer actually does. Maybe he'll be great, but I think a lot of people put too much emphasis on the yards that his offense has gained instead of the points that his team his offense generated. Because while they weren't a team that was top 10 in the league in yards, they were top 10 in points twice. And it's a matter of efficiency, I think, with him. So, is he Sean McVay? No, of course not. But they don't need him to be. That's not the point of the Seahawks off. They really want to get back to running the ball. They know Schottenheimer can get a team to run the ball because, he had Mark Sanchez for all those Jets teams who were good and made deep runs in the playoffs. And he's never had a quarterback like Russell Wilson, which a lot of people talk about, but it's the simple fact is it's true. He's never had a quarterback like Russell Wilson. So he may be able to make the Seahawks offense more efficient, maybe Russell Wilson more efficient, but it's also the flip side of that is Russell Wilson might simply make Brian Schottenheimer a better offensive coordinator as well.
Yeah. Wilson's so versatile. He needs to stay healthy this year, and he's always been a smart quarterback, and he avoids getting hit a lot. But he's taken a beating over the last couple of years, some unnecessarily. But and hopefully we have a good running game. I mean, I think the Seahawks struggled for a couple of years there without Marshawn Lynch because it was like, oh, we got Marshawn Lynch, and all of a sudden we don't have him, and it's like, well, what do we do now? And because when you had him, you just give him the ball and he goes. You don't have to do anything else. You give Marshawn Lynch the ball and throw it a few times and you're good. Mm-hmm. But and Russell Wilson runs around but now you don't have a Marshawn Lynch for people to focus on, and Russell Wilson's running around.
Right, right, yeah.
Who are you going to focus on? Russell Wilson running around.
Exactly, yeah, and maybe that'll change with a healthy Carson, hopefully, and Penny, and maybe an offensive line who's better at blocking. Because J.R. Sweezy, in Tampa, if he had ever stayed healthy, which he didn't, the point of their offense was not to run. It was to have Jameis Winston drop back and pass and then do a little bit of the run. He actually is a pretty decent run blocker. So if Seattle can get back to running the ball the way they want to run the ball, it's going to help everybody involved. Or it's still going to be like, you know, it's going to be the offense is going to look a lot more like it did in 2014 and 13 and a little bit of 15 before that second half of the year where Russell Wilson just blew up. But it's still going to be a lot more ball control and hopefully, you know, last couple of years, Russell Wilson led the league in touchdown passes last year, and he played, I mean, the way he had to play was ridiculous. I mean, anybody who gives Russell Wilson a hard time, he scored every one. He was involved in every one of the Seahawks offensive touchdowns except for one, which sounds ridiculous for an NFL team, but it's true. I mean, he was asked to do too much. Did he probably try to do too much at times and, you know, scramble out and make a play when he shouldn't have? Well, yeah, of course. But, you know, as a human being, if you're also the only person who's scoring touchdowns on your team, it's natural inclination to try to make more out of a play than is probably there in the first place. So, you know, Russell Wilson, I'm happy he's in Seattle, basically.
Yeah. And he's so competitive too. You know, he's not gonna lay down.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, next week is the first preseason game. We'll have another show, another podcast before that. First preseason game is on Thursday. So just last few notes, anything about training camp? Are you worried about Doug Baldwin's seeming injury that he's out for 2 weeks? Do you even care about that? Because he's, you know, it's 2 weeks. Who cares if he misses 2 or 3 weeks or even plays in the preseason? It's the real games are what matters. So are you concerned about that at all?
No, it didn't sound like a real major injury. So, you know, hopefully he'll rest up and get him healthy. But, you know, he's another guy that's getting a few years on him. So, I'm not too worried about it.
Which is exactly why they need to sign Dez Bryant. Bring him in, a young guy. No issues off the... No, I'm just kidding. So,
yep. Big body.
Yep. So what are you looking for in that one or two series that Russell Wilson plays for the Seahawks? Are you going to stay up till 10 p.m. Eastern time or 7 p.m. Pacific time and watch all of that first preseason game they have?
I doubt I'll watch the whole thing, but I just don't want Russell Wilson to get hurt.
Right. Yeah, those first preseason games, like they have guys named like in the third and fourth quarter, they put guys named like Lee Vowell out there, this 5'9", you know, guy who runs like a 6'1", 40, and it's like, oh, let's just make sure he doesn't get hurt. You know, it's like that first preseason game is pretty meaningless, especially in the second half. Because you think about last year, just everybody listening, what happened in the first two games of the preseason last year? There was a quarterback who's no longer on the Seahawks team, didn't even make the team, who ended up just being huge. Boykin played phenomenally in those first two preseason games. And Austin Davis did okay too, but he wasn't Boykin. Boykin was exciting. As it turns out, he didn't even make the team. So how much are you going to really read into those first two preseason games, you know? So
exactly.
It is what it is. So
it's just to make money.
Yeah, exactly. So this is kind of putting you on the spot, and me too, because I hadn't even thought about this. But it's, you know, it's our first podcast of the 2018 NFL season, and there's been a lot of predictions as far as what the Seahawks are going to do this year. You have any predictions as far as their record?
At this point, I really don't. If you asked me about the Rams, I could give you probably a 13-3, but,
yeah,
but the Seahawks, I'm not sure. I might wait till next week or a couple weeks before I give a prediction. We'll see what, give a little more thought to it.
I'm going to guess that they go 17-14. I think it's the games that Felix Hernandez starts that they don't do very well in. But other than that, I think Wade LeBlanc's going to step up and lead them to have a chance at making the playoffs. But if people aren't following the Mariners, now you should, because they can't score any runs, and that's the whole point of the team. But anyway, that's our show for this week. They are going to blow up. You know they're going to. That's our show. First podcast of the 2018 season. I'm Lee, and that's Kevin. And we want a big shout out to Rob Still, who's engineering our show, making it sound good, hopefully. And you can catch us every week. So thanks for listening to 12th Man Rising's Seahawks Show podcast. And go Hawks.
Go Hawks.